Stop what you're doing.
Stop right there.
Okay.
Let's go. You're now tuned into the hottest show on the planet, The Smith Express Show.
Yo, what's poppin'? It's your boy Smith. We're here live on The Smith Express Show. One of the hottest shows out there right now. Hey, right now, I got a couple of the hottest and dopest MCs coming from the South. South Carolina, Tennessee, definitely holding it down. Definitely legends in my eyes. You already know what it is. The big partner, King Columbia, DHD. What's cracking, my dude?
What's poppin'?
Hey, so much has been going on. Both of y'all been putting in that work heavy. Definitely had to get y'all back on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. For real.
No problem. Hey, the Stay Lit Project is out right now. Go stream it, cop it, do what you do. DJ, spin it a couple times. You already know what it is. So, hey, the Stay Lit Project is a very solid project, you know? Like, what was the concept of making it and, like, the name behind it? Like, is there a storyline behind everything?
So, Stay Lit is actually the first album that I put out under Columbia Inc. Records. As far as the concept for it, like, and how it was made, we were really, like, experimenting and trying to find out what sound would be the best moving forward. And we kind of found what we like for the next project. But regardless, as far as like the concept of it, I got Stay Lit tatted on my neck when I was like, I don't know, way younger, bro. And also, I made this album right before I got clean. I'm 7 months clean now, so this is kind of like, you know, it might be the last album where I'm really, really talking about, like, the talking in the way that I was, you know what I mean? The way I used to be, where I used to live.
That's dope. So, like, on this project right here, what's special from the other projects that you released? Is there more of a meaning or a substance behind it?
Well, I think what makes it stand out, it is my 16th studio album. However, I had a hiatus between my drop before this one. And, I mean, if you go back and listen to my older albums, my flows are way more intricate, the more precise, my cadence is starting to, like, find like its own rhythm that makes me stand out from different artists and everything. And I mean, it's just fucking, it's got some bangers on it. Three of the songs have been being spun on the radio up here in Tennessee. It's definitely gaining a lot of traction.
I think that this one is special because it's his first album that I executively produced with him and had my hand in the pot with him. It's like, you know, when we did the interview last time, I was signing him and, you know, we were putting out records he had already done previously as mixtapes. We were just remodeling them as albums. So this is the first one from the beginning that we had, like, just all raw materials and beats, and we chose a path together and created it from nothing.
That's dope. Any special features or production? Producers on there?
King Columbia is featured two times, I believe.
Three times.
He's featured three times. We've got Carolina legend Mr. Flip on there with Bag Today.
And Marvelous.
Yeah, and Marvelous. The song with Mr. Flip, Bag Today, that's been fun up here, like, three or four times in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Well, all over East Tennessee, really.
That's dope. That's definitely dope, bro. I definitely salute y'all. Congrats on the project and all. So, like, you know what I mean? With this project, what's the next? Like, what's the next big single you guys releasing? Or is there any videos being shot for it?
Yeah,
Well, we release most of the singles prior to the album. That's usually how the formula goes. We'll release 4 to 5 singles up until the day of the release. But last time we talked to you, I know the last interview, we were naming off all these big features and stuff, and they're still there. We just moved a lot of his major features. We're moving them to like the album that's coming after this. So we can speak on that later. But, you know, he's still got the tracks with like Bizarre from D12 and Pastor Troy and the Chat from 36 Mafia. The ones we named off last time, we're just moving into the more solidified album. And, you know, as he's changing his style, where the demographic is, where he stays, this is more of, like you said, like the last time you're going to see him rap in this kind of format.
Hey, I salute you for being 7 months clean, but I also salute you, DHD, for having 16 albums. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time I think I've ever been ahead to where we got the main album, like the next project, already stashed in the can and like just about ready to go. We're just going to plan everything out for it. It's got to break eventually, dude. I mean, like, I'm too invested at this point. I definitely ain't. I'm not going nowhere no time soon, you know what I mean?
That's dope. That's for real, for real. So, I mean, from the crowd response, what is some of the favorite songs that your fans love?
I've been doing a lot of shows recently, and also, of course, like, going crazy with the promo online. But Walking with a Limp seems to be a favorite. That one's definitely a banger. Tats on a Body is a song for like the females. That's with King Columbia on the hook. That song's definitely fire.
That's like number one on Spotify right there.
Yeah, it is. It's actually jumped to one of my hottest records, if not the hottest one as far as numbers. As far as like performing live though, making moves, that second track on the album is absolutely nuts. I usually will perform that first when I come out, and it just kind of catches people off guard. The beat's crazy. It's real, like, you just have to check it out. It's just dope.
That's awesome, bro, for real. So, like, you said that this is your 16th album, and how long ago did you release your first?
I was 15. I'm
25
now.
So what, you was releasing what, twice a year? Or almost twice a year?
At least. Like, I would always religiously drop on my birthday, and then, like, I don't know, dude. Honestly, like, it's hard to remember. But yeah.
I know a lot of his albums, when we re-released them, we spaced them out over the years. But I know, like, around 2014, he had, like, 3 or 4 albums just in that 1 year by itself. So, like, he got really busy in, like, 2014, 2013.
Oh, damn. Hey, look, so, hey, for both of y'all, since you guys both had your hands in the pot in making this project, I'm going to name some songs out. I'm going to name some random songs from the project. And if each of y'all could just tell me the history about it, the concept about it, who produced it, you know what I'm saying, the dope storyline behind each song. Is that cool?
Okay.
All right. So the first song is Ride.
Ride was originally my song, and I recorded that back in 2015, and I scratched it off an album. It actually had an incomplete verse. It only had an 8-bar verse on there, and I want to say I punched in another 4 to make a 12, or maybe it still has an 8. I think I went back in there and like dubbed in an extra 4 bars, and if you listen real carefully, you can hear a quality transition from my voice from 2015. No one's caught that until I've said something, but that was off my album that never came out, that, you know, that was one of the scratch tracks and stuff from 2015. And just like Tats on Her Body, the same with Ride, you know, we were trying to scramble to find like
what, because the type of music I'm doing now is like really crunk and really like, you know, like high energy. We were trying to find some stuff that would more match the mood of how he was flowing on the album. So with Rise, I was like, you know, let's go through these old Pro Tools sessions. I have a lot of stuff I didn't finish, and that's just something that he took a liking to. And it's cool to see something that I shelved get life, you know, in 2022 from 2014 or 2015, whenever I recorded that. And that's also like what I was telling him, you know, pre the interview, like, I want to make music that's going to be around for a long time, not just in the moment because it's hot in the moment.
Hey, that's facts. That's facts. That's definitely a dope storyline. For real, for real.
Yeah. In that record I was talking about, you know, the song called Ride, I was like, I got a Thunderbird and an old school Chevy. Man, I wrecked both of them cars. Like, I ain't even got them no more, dog.
Damn, how'd you wreck them? Just recklessly driving?
Oh, Lord.
Hey, the Thunderbird,
I'm really mad about this one.
King Columbia sent me to Memphis to go meet Lil White Brewer. And I went and got alcohol and I was drinking on the way back.
Limited edition 3-6 Mafia beer, by the way.
Yeah, so I drove all the way to Memphis to get this beer. I got it. I'm on the way back and my GPS takes me down this like wrong turn down a mountain or something. I drove it straight through a guardrail, like wrapped it around itself 7 times. When the cops got there, I just told them I was, because I was drenched in alcohol, I just told them I was going to go get samples. It was a business trip and that I wasn't drinking. They let me go.
Oh, dang. That's crazy.
Yeah. I told his butt, too, that night. I'm like, you know what? He's like, I'm about to pop one of these open and drink it right now. I'm like, wait till you get back to the studio and, like, we can take some pictures. Like, you know, so I get, like, LeChat or, like, you know, some of them to, like, reshare it on, like, social media or something. You know, like, because we got the very last case. The brewery does not make that limited edition 3-6 Mafia beer. So he left from Chattanooga and drove, like, 4 or 5 hours to Memphis to meet the brewery owner to just get the very last case of this 3-6 Mafia beer in existence. And then he wound up flipping in a ravine from it. I'm like, man.
Wow, hey, that's crazy. And all that is tied into that song. That's wild.
Yeah.
That right there, hey, that's a legendary moment, though, low-key.
Yeah.
Yeah. I joke with him pretty hard. I was like, is the beer okay? I'm just kidding. I'm glad you're okay, man. I'm glad you survived. I'm just kidding.
Hey, that's, man, because, like, all that for some beer, like, man, anything could have happened. But that's what's up, though. But that shows, like, the great length you'll go, you know what I mean, to achieve anything. So that's no excuses why people out here can't achieve their dreams. Facts.
Hey, I still got to be in South Carolina. You know, I made it.
So he made it. They were all dented up and stuff, but he made it.
So the next song is... The next song is Making Moves.
Making Moves is like a really lyrical song. Actually, the first song that I ever recorded, it was at a home studio when I was 15. It's called Making Moves. That was like my little hometown hit that I would perform when I was 15. And, since I'm 25 now, it's, you know, been over 10 years, like, in the hook, I'm kind of, like, still touching on what I said in that first song, but it kind of shows, like, if you listen to both, like, if you type in VHC Making Moves and pull up both, you can see exactly how far I've come from and, like, the energy and everything, like, anyway, that's just a really, really lyrical record. It's more of like a flex on all my lyrical abilities.
That's what's up. All right. The next song on the album is Hustle Harder.
Hustle Harder is,
Oh, God.
Like, how did that
sound? Man.
We're going to keep it on the Columbia side of the fence for this one.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Man, that's a complicated situation, dog. I just... Devin, you go ahead. You speak on that one, bro.
Basically, DHD brings me this artist named Cooper Spook, and he a talented, like, freestyle rapper, but he's just down a path of no return. And, you know, he had paid Dusty for, or DHD for a couple features and stuff, but, like, ultimately it didn't work out and stuff. And some of them that we, some of the tracks that we never released and stuff, we wound up just putting on the album and stuff. But, you know, shout out to homie on the record, but DHD did his thing, and that we just gonna leave it with that.
Man, that... That's what's up. So, look, hey, King Columbia, look, let me ask you this question. When was it exactly that, or like, do you remember that very moment where you heard DHD spit for one of the very first times that you, a young man, you was like, or you might have thought to yourself, like, man, this dude right here is going places. I got to sign him. I got to have him under the King.
That's a crazy story, because, I'm going to tell you, he started recording, the label he was with, it wasn't really like a label, but like a group of kids with a name that was trying to like make music and, you know, establish something for themselves. You know, they were booking at my studio, and the guy that was running it, he also used to manage my artist, J.O., the one that I have the joint album with right now. And I kept pushing him. I'm like, you need to push J.O. more. You need to push J.O. more. And he's like, no, DHD's the one. DHD's like 15 years old, and he's already got 9 albums under his belt, or mixtapes at the time. And he kept pushing me for DHD, but I kept pushing for J.O. because J.O. was just more melodic. He was more like new age, but DHD was like really lyrical and talented. And it wasn't till, you know, I was vouching for J.O. hard. It wasn't till me and him had mutual beef with somebody in Columbia, and DHD put a diss track out about the guy, and I'm like, I'm glad someone finally said something, because I'm so tired of, like, hearing this shit. So, DHD put a diss record out, and I reached out to him on Facebook, and at first he was just a client, because he was up under that other label, you know, with, you know, the group of artists trying to make a label, trying to make a name for themselves and stuff. And then I wound up signing J.O., and then years later, I guess they kind of, like, disbanded and stuff, and then I wound up signing DHD. But it was over a diss record that he did. Because at first, like, you know, I wanted his partner, because I was trying to be new age. I wanted to kind of fit in with, like, I ain't going to say mumble rap, but, like, the melodic flow and, you know, like, the same rapping and stuff. I was trying to, like, have some new age artists, and DHD's, like, a real spitter. So it's not that I never, like, recognized the talent. I was just at the time frame when I first met him. I was trying to modernize myself, but it wasn't until when he put that diss track out and then he started recording with me more predominantly that you know, like, it's really where I was like, yo, we did a track called Way Too Lit, and that's really when I was like, all right, like, I really want to give him a chance. Like, he got me, he asked me to be a feature on the song, and I liked it a lot, and that's, we wound up putting it out several times, and then it came out officially with Lil White on it. So, like, there's, you know, there's still some underground versions of that record out there, you know, without Lil White. Like, there's a solo version of DHD. There's the version with me. That's the second version, and then it's the final, like, album version with us and Lil White and 36 Mafia and stuff. So it's, like, it's been a long, like, I want to say more, like, client business relationship. And some ups and downs, like, you know, I've been there for him. He's done some rocky things with me, but I've always, you know, I see the true potential in him, and I wanted to always help him. And he's even told me before, his mother's told me before, like, out of everybody he's dealt with, he's, like, the only one that's never really gave up on him and stuff. And it's like, cause I do see out of everybody. And I told him this, like, the other day, like, with him out there getting out there putting posters and flyers up, not a lot of artists can match my drive and work ethic with stuff like that. And I've helped a lot of artists get like full CDs, like jewel cases, booklets, poster, all that stuff, like the whole works and stuff. And they're too scared to walk up to people and talk to them and try to sell a record, or they're too scared to promote themselves, or they're out spending their money on booze or drugs or girls and partying and all this stuff. But DHD, I mean, there's times in his life where he was willing to be homeless and put that dollar toward his music. And that's the kind of drive that I have, bro. You know, my nice house, my nice car, all that, I'm willing to eat ramen noodles for months just to get to that next level if that's what it takes. And I see that drive in DHD. Like, he's willing to go without so his dreams can have, you know what I'm saying? So like I said to him, you know, it's very rare. It's the only time I've ever really had an artist on my team that had a drive that kind of matched mine. Like, in different areas, obviously, I'm more behind the scenes, behind the computer, and he's more, like, in the streets, you know, walking up to people and stuff. And we promote in two different ways, you know. Like, I pretty much supply the product and he delivers the product. But he's out there every day shaking hands and selling records and trying to get the product out there. So I respect his drive, and I think that's what keeps us working together. Because there's a lot of times when we could have just said, fuck this music shit, this ain't working. But, you know, the work ethic is there. And I believe that you can take a regular person, a regular artist, regular music, and with enough work force, like you said, the machine, you put a machine behind it, you can make a star from anything, bro. I mean, I was managing this dude one time that he was locked up and he was recording stuff off his cell phone. He's like, you really believe you can help get my music out there and stuff? I'm like, if you got money, time, dedication, and drive and workforce, I believe anything can happen. And a lot of artists, they rely on their talent and just throw records out there, and they don't really get out there and push. And I can say DHD does get out there and push. So I believe you can take you can take nothing and make it something if there's enough work and effort behind it. You know, you got to start from the bottom and build up, you know. So, I mean, he has drive, and he's out there. You know, this is like the first album he's had a full professional packaging with the rollout, like with the flyers, the posters, the stickers, the QR codes. It's the first time he's had a real rollout and stuff, and he's been out there grinding with it. Like, you know, he even tells me as he's making runs, our posters and stuff from last year are still up, like, in certain places and stuff. So, you know, we're out there, you know, just trying to get the city painted with the label, and, you know, he's out there every day almost. I ain't gonna say every day, but almost every day. I'd say at least 5 days a week he's out there trying to promote.
That's awesome, bro. So, look, hey, DHD, let me ask you this. What was it that made you want to sign with King Columbia, knowing that you had other offers on the table and stuff like that?
Man, honestly, like, no, there's not really any other routes in South Carolina that I feel like would be worth taking. I'm not going to say they're not there, because I've definitely been around to, like, every group of musicians or, like, just collectives of artists and stuff. Pretty much any network in South Carolina, I've been around them, I've seen what they do, and they're not doing what we're doing. They don't have, speaking from a complete business standpoint, like, they just don't have what Columbia Inc. Records has to offer. I don't see how these artists, like, I don't know how many artists have been dropped from this label. I think it's like 15 or something crazy.
A lot.
Like that they had the same opportunity that I had and didn't take it. Obviously, they just didn't want it. Like, I'm willing to make, really, it was more, it's like a respect thing, because I felt like nobody, I rap with almost everybody in South Carolina. Every once in a while, I come across a new artist that I ain't heard of before. And for years, I was like, dude, I just want to rap with somebody that I can just rap with, and I'm not like, I don't feel like I'm bodying them on every single record. But, like, it's like a lot of reasons. Like, the talent is there. like the connections are there. Everything's there for me to be successful. It'd be stupid for me not to ride with somebody and ain't graduated, you know.
Hello?
Yeah.
Do you hear us?
Yeah, it was just a little windy.
Okay. I don't understand how these artists haven't made it, or at least, just, I'm going to speak on one aspect of it, because I don't want to get too into the business or deal or anything like that, but as far as being able to record, with the amount of albums that I had prior to this, like, talking about tens of thousands of dollars for me to record all that music, and, like, I don't have to worry about that anymore, with guidance, of course, anyway, financially just makes sense, everything makes sense about it, and, like, nobody's really touching Columbia Ink Records in South Carolina right now.
Let me add something into this. I had a producer stop by my studio last night, and he told me that, you know, I really need to humble myself, and I act a little cocky and stuff, and I'm like, what do you mean? And this is just kind of going to show how South Carolina is with music and stuff. He was like, I reached out to you, I showed love to you, but you didn't put me on. And I'm like, let me stop you right there. That doesn't mean that I'm arrogant or I think I'm better than anybody. That doesn't mean that I'm not willing to help nobody, but nobody can put you on. I can give you the tools, just like I can give VHD or anybody the tools to kind of make it, but I can't put you on. And I think that's why a lot of artists with me fail, is they see my success, or they see my connections, but they're not willing to do the work that I, you know, did to get that. And they think, oh, signing to this person, I'm going to be put on. And that is the wrong mind state to have, because no one can put you on. I mean, I can vouch for that, you know, being signed to Little Roo. You know, him signing to Def Jam, he thought that was going to be a big career move. Well, you know, when you're not Jay-Z and Rick Ross at the time, you're not going to be treated like you're at the top with them either, you know? So, at the end of the day, nobody can put you on, even having a major deal. Artists get major deals all the time and have one hit record, and then they flop. No one can put you on. You have to be able to do the work yourself and use what the label or the manager, you know, gives you or guides you to do. And that's one thing about BHD, when I talked about changing the style, changing the clothes, dressing a little bit more attractive for the line of music. A lot of artists give me hassle when I'm trying to, like, make them look more professional and be more professional. BHD ain't really ever gave me a lot of lip. He took my guidance. There's sometimes he's questioning some things or asking why this beat or why this or why that. But for the most part, he's just listened and did the work. And that's really the best relationship a manager and an artist could, you know, have, is being able to trust your manager and trust that his decisions are right for you and guiding you in the right way. Because sometimes, and even Eminem has said this, the music he wants to make isn't necessarily the ones that the fans want to hear sometimes. So, like, that's why you need a team and a label to kind of help that connection between the artist and the fan base. Of course, you should do music for yourself and be an artist, a true artist, but that's when the marketing can kind of be tricky and offensive to artists, too, because, like, you might have everything, but your marketing or hitting the target audience wrong, but when you have a management team, they can kind of mold that into, all right, we need to start attacking this more, or we need to start aiming for this more. And a lot of artists get real defensive about that. But I can tell you, being a funder of our artist that was under two major deals, he didn't have a lot of say in a lot of things, you know, just from my experience. Like, clothes was pre-picked out, you know, shoes was pre-picked out, beats were pre-picked out and stuff. So, like, that's me kind of not wanting to have 100% control. That's why I say we put our hands in the pot together, but kind of getting them prepared for what a major deal would do. Because a major deal, it's not just your music, it's yours and the label's music. And a lot of artists need to be prepared for that if they ever got signed.
That's real. And salute to you for dropping the jewels. A lot of people were probably uneducated about, you know, that's dope.
Yeah.
Hey, look, let me ask you guys this. Like, are you guys, since you guys have that close bond already, like a Snoop and Dre, Are we expecting any duo or a solid project between you two, joint collaboration?
We were just talking about that because I got the, you know, when we do the next interview with you that we got scheduled, the one with the joint album with me and J.O., I've been thinking about having the success of that because it's been doing a lot of good organic plays without the promotion and stuff. Me and DXC were just talking today about us venturing doing a collab project because I think it's kind of, it's also with me being older than him, it's a way for me to be relevant working with younger artists and also ways for like his style of music to hit my fan base and my style of music to hit his fan base. We've definitely been talking about it.
We're both lyrical, so
yeah.
If we do drop something like that, I feel like if we ever do an interview on that and you're asking us who you think went harder on one record, bro, it's just gonna be heated.
that's crazy. Cause what's it called? Like, if you guys were to compare you guys to anybody, who would you guys compare yourselves to?
I mean, to me, with the route that he's going right now, I would kind of compare it to like Eminem and Yella Wolf, only because like I'm older and that's the solid music I got him going. Which you don't really hear a lot of that on the favorite album, but on his new album, you will hear more of that Tennessee sound on. But I mean, yeah, you have the M and Dre, you have the M and Yella, you have the, you know, I would like to see, obviously, like, the older factor would kind of play like a mentor type of thing, but not to compare that way. I'd like to see, like, an Eminem and Royce type of album between us.
Yeah. That probably would be structured like anyway.
That's what.
Yeah, because you know Royce is coming with them bars, and then like him kind of comes with that commercial sound with it, and that's kind of like the route that I would want to take with him. Like, hey, we can still have bars and punchlines, but we can still make club bangers, and we can still, there's a lot of dudes per se that say, I don't know, I don't like tats on her body. That ain't the one, DXD. But then the numbers say otherwise. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I want to be able to take lyrics and wordplay and still make club bangers or radio bangers and show people that, like, hey, hip-hop ain't dead because people ain't doing it right. And that's going to be offensive. That's going to probably spark a lot of me saying that. But, like, I mean, there's a lot of kids today that cannot connect with the boom-bap sound. So, you know, for us to get that wordplay and the lyrics and, like, really just drilling with the beats and stuff on like some new age type production, I feel like it keeps hip hop alive. Even if we are doing commercial rap per se, if that's really what you want to like put the genre as, more than like hip hop MCing, but I feel like it'll have elements of that in there.
That's dope. Hey, that's hot. That's hot. So what, we can expect it sometime this year or next year, or is it too early to call?
It's too early, honestly, because I just put this album out. He just put his album out, and then I got a whole other album in the can. He's got a whole other album in the can. So I usually, and you know, and this is one thing Dusty, he'll probably agree with. I remember him having a conversation with me saying that, you know, working with a label and putting out music with a team is so different than putting out music on your own, because it's a little slower process, especially like working together and putting our ideas and stuff together is slower. But I usually try to put out one album every year or every 2 years. Now that sounds like a long time, but I really believe in like quality over quantity and stuff. But as we get settled in, you know, the label, and we have less our artists now, I'm actually looking to try to drop like once per year, like on good solid projects, you know, like we'll drop the singles throughout the year. That way the buzz is going, but we'll give them, and you know, some people say albums are dead. I don't believe that, because I think there's some people that might want to have every single one of them singles without paying a dollar a piece, and they'd rather just pay $10 for the whole project, or you know, or just add it to their playlist as a whole project than having to go search up 20 singles, you know. So I still believe that albums can still live and breathe. And I still think that, you know, there's room for that
So we're going to release, our structure is going to be released as singles, and then we're going to, we'll cap it at like anywhere from 4 to 6. That way it'll give enough imagination for people to want to buy the album. And hopefully, like right now, it's like where everybody's dropping every 2 years. I'm hoping to get it where we drop every year. And if we're doing a collab project, maybe like twice a year. So we have our solo projects and a collab project. So it really just depends on finding the right production, because we're actually like looking into new production now, like new producers to work with and stuff. And I think it just kind of, how the chemistry goes, really. So I would say on a safer bet, probably in the next 3 years, 2 to 3 years.
Oh, okay. You know what I mean? By then, I'm pretty sure the collab is probably going to be even more crazier. The production is going to be even more crazier.
Oh, yeah. This is just like a taste of his actual album.
That's hot. That's definitely dope. So as far as King Columbia goes, he's the only one signed to King Columbia, or?
As of right now, I mean, I'm still releasing projects with some of the former artists, you know, and that same that producer that came over and asked me, you know, why I didn't put him on and stuff, he was like, he did say, he's like, that's still big of you to, like, still release the projects that, from artists that it didn't work out with or screwed you over, it had bad business. And I'm like, this is a part of my life. This is my footprint. This is my legacy. So just because the artist didn't work out doesn't mean, you know, he's got records on his album with artists that don't, you know, didn't work out, and we still put them out and stuff, because if the record's good, the record's good. You know,
anytime like somebody gets a feature from me, or I run into artists that like are wanting to, get graphics done, or I'm trying to send them his way, like, I've tried to get other artists that have come my way to see the same opportunity, and it's just like, I don't know what they do.
It's an ego pride thing, or like it's a control thing, man. It takes a lot. Look, and this is where I commend Dusty too. Like I said, it takes a lot to say, hey, I've been rapping my whole life, I feel like I've done good, but I could do better. But I'm going to put my career in the hands of somebody else and take their guidance. I'm going to allow them to have some say in my music. And that's not a conversation a lot of artists are willing to have. You know, you might think your favorite rapper did all them records by himself, but he had somebody helping him. I'm not saying writing his bars. I'm saying he had somebody helping him as far as, like, you know, and I could tell you, like, through being with Lil Rude, through Capital and Def Jam, I can tell you on several occasions where the label made him go back 3-4 different times and change records. Records that were already out on the radio before they were distributed and published to the public. Like, you know, Don't I Look Good, they changed that 4 times. Nasty Song had like 3 to 5 different re-edits before it actually made like CD shelves and stuff. So like a lot of artists don't understand, you know, and a common thing that I've heard out of artists' mouth that, you know, that I've managed, that I've never heard out of Dusty's mouth is, okay, I signed to you, but I just want you to trust me to let me do music the way I want to. Well, if that's the case, then why were you not winning before you signed to me? You came to me, you know, either you wanted my connections, or you wanted, you know, the popularity that I had, or you wanted to be in a spotlight like me, or you wanted whatever reason someone signed to me, because it's hard to sign. And I speak from this, you know, on a side note, it's hard to sign to somebody that's also an artist. But I'm able to take myself, and Dusty will tell you, I told him straight up, I don't want to be on your album too much because I want this to be your album. So, you know, while we had all those days and nights in the studio where we could have been working on a ton of things, I just let him listen to some, you know, shelf sessions and let him pick out. Because, like, a lot of artists sign to another artist, and they're too busy on themselves to really put their effort behind the artist. So, like, I think I have a great functioning, you know, self team where I can take myself out of the shoes of being an artist and put myself into the shoes of being the manager or executive producer when the time is right, and give that project the same amount of dedication and, you know, and quality control that I would give my own album. Because I put just as much work into his album as I'm with one of my own solo albums.
That's hot, bro. Hey, yeah, y'all work ethics is crazy. Hey, if y'all can, I just want to make sure that whoever's want to follow you guys, have questions, anything, just right quick, shout out y'all social media.
Stay Lit Dusty, at Stay Lit Dusty on all sites, everything.
Yeah, and mine's King Columbia, at King Columbia on everything, is KILLUMBIA, if you don't know how to spell Columbia, and, we matching on everything, so you can find us on everything real easy. He's got the website, he's got merch, he's got hard copies. I'll let him run down what we're doing with the record, that way he can kind of tell you about, you know, as far as how we're pushing the album and stuff.
All right. So, I mean, well, with the album, you said you guys got another one in the stash, so what, are we expecting a Stay Lit 2 or something totally different?
I'm going, the next album would be more of like a Tennessee, 100% Tennessee-styled album, going like Jelly Roll, Jelly Wolf, those routes. I'm trying to think of another artist that would be like similar in comparison. It's original though. It's definitely a lot of originality behind it, but it fits in more here where I'm, you know, stationed in Tennessee. It's got more like country and rock and roll roots mixed in with hip hop. I tell you what, these people up in Tennessee, at least in East Tennessee, I know obviously Memphis has a rap theme, but these people are like ignorant. I've been arguing with these promoters and these venue owners and sound guys, and it's taking me just absolutely annoying the hell out of them and going in their venues every week. And but we do have a significant amount of shows booked. I usually we got a lot of shows booked, and the Yellow Wolf Caskey Route, like, the next album's definitely gonna resonate more here in Tennessee, you know?
That's definitely awesome, you know what I mean? That's definitely awesome, for real. Hey, and you know what I'm saying? I salute both of y'all for definitely grinding and never giving up. Because, like, a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, especially nowadays, they hear the word no or things may not be going their way all the time, and like people be quick to give up or walk away from it. I salute both of y'all for, you know what I'm saying, even going harder, you know?
It's crazy, man. Like, you know, I just turned 36 Monday, and last Monday, I just turned 36, and I see people I went to school with, like people like in middle school, high school, that picked on me for rapping. And I told you before, I'm like one of the first white rappers to really ever do it in South Carolina. And get a record deal up under him. And the fact that, like, you know, I see people out, whether I'm getting groceries or at the mall or wherever I'm at, and they're like, you know what, man, I feel bad for all the shit I taught when we were growing up, or like clowning you for being, you know, a rapper, or you know, saying wannabe rapper, to see you still living your dreams and working with some of the people that we like idolized growing up, or like the people that was on TV. That's like, that's big and stuff. And it's like, I appreciate it, bro. And then, like, in some ways, it does bring me some closure from, like, you know, obviously, like, when you're the first to do something, or like you're young doing something, there's going to be some ridicule or some speculation and stuff. So, you know, it's crazy that, like, people don't get behind people sooner. That's one thing about me, and Dusty will tell you, like, I always give SE artists their flowers now. Like, when I see, like, people like 48 Yachty still making hits, still dropping records, Mr. Flip, when I see all them, Collard Green, all them still dropping these big records in South Carolina, I make sure I share and comment, you know, and a common misconception with today's time is if you share somebody else's stuff or you like their stuff or support it, you dick riding. And, dude, that's what the game is lacking, is more unity and more support, you know. Like, we need to all embrace the ones that open the doors for us. And, you know, I remember having a talk with Dusty when we first started getting his features. He's like, some of these rappers are like older. I want some, you know, I want some features with some rappers that are like out now. And I'm like, we can't afford, with your budget right now, we can't afford these rappers that's out right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through all my connections of legends and start building you up a resume. So now when you look at his booking flyer, you see names like Riff Raff, Bazaar from D12, Project Pat, Frazier Boy, LeChat from 36 Mafia. Like, you see all these big names and Mod Sun and all these, you know, names, you know, he's worked with and stuff. And I'm like, see, that would look better having 10 to 20 legends under your resume credits than one big hot artist. Yeah, that name is flashy, but now when you go approach that bigger artist and you're trying to work out a good negotiation deal on a feature, you can show them your booking flyer and be like, hey, I'm actually really doing this stuff. They're like, okay, well, damn, he's worked with all these people, so he's out here grinding, so it might be worth me to actually work with this younger artist, and, you know, we can kind of come to a compromise on the feature or do a different publishing split or some shit like that. And, you know, at first, I had to, like, walk him through it because he didn't see it. I'm not going to say, like, things have always been peachy clean with me and him, but one thing is he's always taking the guidance. Man, I don't know if I want to do this, but you want me to do it, so I'm going to do it. And he did it, and then he comes back later and says, I see why you had me do this. I had to sit there and think about it and actually see the final product to understand. And that's, we need more artists like that. Artists that's willing to grow with the times. Artists that's willing to, you know, take an ear out. Because if you only do stuff for yourself, by yourself, you're going to box yourself in. You know, I'm constantly, even when I don't agree with stuff, you could tell me right now, you know, you reviewed the album and you like all the songs except for the ones that I featured on. But if I'm looking at the plays on Apple, Spotify, and I'm looking at what the demographic is, I'm going to listen and take in what you're saying, but I'm also going to look at the numbers, and I feel like artists should do that. Like, you know, don't just put out a bunch of music you feel like you're good at or you're comfortable doing. Look at the analytics, look at the numbers, and look at what the fans want. You know, like, look at the songs on the album that are hitting the most, and the next album, do more songs like those songs that were hitting hard off the previous album.
I agree. And that's smart as fuck, because, like, a lot of people, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people isn't true to themselves nowadays, because a lot of people just want to follow the trend or just want to do stuff for the moment. And, you know what I'm saying? I definitely salute both of y'all for, you know what I'm saying, embracing both of y'all's swags and styles and making something great out of it. You know, State Lit is definitely a solid project.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And like... Yeah. Did you guys, like, when you sit back and hear Stay Lit now, did the sound and everything to it accomplish the goal that y'all wanted to accomplish?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like
it's kind of like the last project to a chapter, you know, like, as far as that sound. But yeah, we did accomplish what we were trying to do with it because we found the sound for the next album, you know?
I mean, yeah, like I said, anytime I sign an artist to the label, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I threw a bunch of random beats at him, and I'm like, he's like, I don't know. I might not rap to all this stuff. I'm like, bro, just do it, and let's just try it, you know?
I brought over 40 songs that we recorded, like, in 3 days. But, I brought like 40 something with me for that session.
Yeah, and then we just kind of picked through what was the best. And then, you know, like I told you the last interview, like, because you interviewed him right when we were working on the project and we were getting everything recorded. And I told you we had all these features and stuff. Well, we're changing the beats out on the features to kind of match the newer album, the Tennessee acoustic rock country but still rap sound. So we're going to switch the instrumentals out on the bigger features because it made more sense to me to move the bigger features over into the actual album. Like, Stay Lit is an album, but it's kind of random. Like, I mean, everything ties together well and flows together well. But, like, we really, like you said, he wrote a bunch of songs and came in and we kind of threw them out and kind of fished to see which ones would work and which ones wouldn't work. Whereas when we started saying, okay, you live in Tennessee, this is the direction the white rappers are going in Tennessee, you have this look already, you have this sound already, let's kind of pursue this more. And I'm going to tell you, really, the deciding factor in that is a song he did a long time ago called Pain. And he had, like, and Lunatic. He did these two songs called Pain and Lunatic, and they're both on, like, acoustic beats. And the Lunatic one kind of has a Nirvana sound to it. And then when I heard that, and I was seeing how big Yellow Wolf was getting, and then Dusty told me, he's like, I don't live in South Carolina no more, bro. I still want to work with you, but I'm all the way in Chattanooga, Tennessee, but I can make the trips there if we can make this work. And I'm like, I'm going to do it, but we're going to do it and kind of aim at that Tennessee market. So, you know, prior to our last interview, we just moved the Bizarre from D12 to 3-6 Mafia features, and, you know, we just moved all those over into the bigger album because I feel like it's going to make more sense, you know, like, plus it already established, like, this is his first commercial album that's, like, really distributed the right way from the bottom up. And it can prove that he can stand on his own, not have a feature-heavy track list, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like that was a good move to make in longevity.
So, like, y'all listening to it, what's some, like, King Columbia, you first, like, what's a song that you think is going to stand the test of time?
Oh, that's a hard one. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, even though some of them are, like, newer age songs, I really like Ooh a lot. But I feel like, and I don't even want to be biased because I'm on the phone, I feel like no matter what has happened in the world from when we were all kids, from the 80s to 90s, pop has withstand the hell of the time. Like, Madonna's still here. Britney Spears still here. All these, you know, pop artists, and even with Pitbull going that direction, it's kind of like I cut that Cat Former Body off of my album because people said it wasn't going to work. But I feel like Cat Former Body, even though it's more of a strip club kind of banger, I feel like that's kind of like an international type beat. So, like, people of all ages and demographics will like it, whereas some of the hardcore rap stuff is only going to be hit in a certain niche market and stuff, and some, especially some of the backpack rap stuff, like, is really niche. And, I, you know, like I said, I don't want to be biased because I'm on the hook of that record, but I feel like beat-wise and hook-wise, and just like club, I go, you know, I can go in the club right now and they play music from all decades, like at some of the strip clubs, or like, so from my perspective, that song will be around for a long time. If you want to know my opinion on one of his solo songs on there, I would have to say, you know, I really want to push for Ooh, but like the fan favorite is Walking with a Limp. A lot of the fans, like, I did not push that as a single. I did not release it as a single, but that's the one that the fans keep calling for, is Walking with a Limp. And he's like, I'm not a pimp, but my wallet got me walking with a limp. Just like talk about, you know, flashing cash, and just, it's just a fun song. So, I mean, as far as like an international sound, I feel like the Cat Former Body will withstand time. I feel like, One is Ain't the Loneliest, or whatever we name that song with the sample with One Ain't the Loneliest Number, that Two Can Be as Bad as One. That, even though I'm not going to say it ain't necessarily one of my favorites, because like it has that boom bap sample sound to it, that is a sample that everybody knows, and I feel like that could be around for a really long time. And I don't, you know, we can hear Dusty's opinion on what he thinks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's coming from a different generation than us, so let's kind of see what he says.
Honestly, as far as, like, my fan base, I used to stir up a lot of trouble out in Elgin and, like, upper Tennessee areas where Mr. Flip is, like, a legend. And I already know, like, back today, my collab with Mr. Flip, because nobody thought I was going to be anything. When I was out there, I was at my worst, like, basically living on the streets. And to come from that to where I'm at now and do a song
with somebody that everybody idolizes out in that particular area of South Carolina. I know that I made a big impact out there. Because people told me, like, you'd never be able to rap with Mr. Slick. I'm talking about verbatim all the time. They'd, like, throw it in my face and then say that I wouldn't be able to do it. So, I mean, that was kind of like, that was personally satisfying. And I know it gets spun out there a lot. I would have to agree with Devin on, I would have to agree with King Columbia on Tats on the Body being the record that I'd be shooting for as far as a mainstream sound. That's the most mainstream song on the album as far as fitting into, like, you know, hearing it on the radio and it flowing with everything else that's going on. And, I mean, it could have flowed on everything that was going on in 2015, and 5 years from now that record could go on the radio and still fit in on multiple different stations. But yeah, as far as like, I feel like Walking with a Limp is more of a street single, like, or anthem or whatever you want to call it. It's really just like, it's just really catchy. Like, everybody keeps telling me, like, it gets stuck in their head, and it's the catchiest song on the album. I mean, really, I was playing around with that song and just being ignorant. But I mean, that's what people like, so. Yeah, that's what I think about it.
That's what's up. You know what I'm saying? I want to congratulate both of y'all, DHD. You know what I'm saying? Salute for dropping a solid project. You know what I'm saying? Stay Lit is out right now. Go stream it. Go share it. You know what I'm saying? Download it. It's available on all platforms. But you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to be able to... you know what I'm saying? I don't want to hold you guys too long. You know, definitely an honor to have y'all on my show. Y'all always welcome back. You know what I mean? We definitely finna do something. No problem. You know what I'm saying? We finna do something Saturday, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That'll be the one for me and J.O. I'll get J.O. on there. And we'll kind of discuss that joint collab album, you know, since you're kind of interested in us, you know, doing more collab albums.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that you guys work great together, for real, for real. You know? But, I was going to say, what is it like, you know what I'm saying? But on a positive note, for those that is tuning in, you guys got any inspirational words for you, for them? For those that might be wanting to accomplish some of the great things you guys accomplished?
I would just say, like, as far as what I'm doing personally and what's working, like, as far as, and you said it earlier, about not giving up and keep on pushing. As soon as everything gets incredibly stressful and those thoughts come into your head about giving up, and you'll see like these like negative signs coming up trying to tell you to stop and make you stop, even though you're so invested in it and you know it's like coming from your heart. Like, as soon as you think about giving up, as long as you just keep going, like, what you want is going to be right around the corner every single time. And the more you put faith in that and have faith in that, it's like the amount of time you're stressing isn't as much. And then you're just flowing in nothing but blessings. That's the way that's what has been revealed to me recently.
That's dope. Hey, you know what I mean? Definitely an honor. I think we just lost King Columbia. He's still online?
I just saw him. He said his phone hung up.
Oh, dang. But, you know what I mean? Hey, tell him it's definitely an honor to have both. You know what I'm saying? Anytime, you know what I'm saying? Definitely welcome back. For real. So,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Hey, once again, shout out your social. You got social media, your social media, so that way they could be able to tune in.
Yeah, at Stay Lit Dusty on all sites. You can find everything about us on Columbia.com, KILLUMBIA. Yep.
Oh, yeah, and y'all already know. Let's get it.
Hey, hell yeah, man. Thank you.
No problem, boss.
All right.
There you have it. Dope, solid interview. You know what I mean? With the homie DHD, King Columbia from Columbia Records. Stay Lit, DHD's 16th album is out now. You already know what it is. dope interview for the one and only Smith. Signing out, Smith Express Show. Let's get it. Yeah.